Now, Jeff, over in Wisconsin, there's this Kyle Rittenhouse case with Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, also barrister, attorney extraordinaire, extraordinarily at everything. But we have this case over there, and one of the people that was shot at admitted he had his gun drawn first, his loaded gun. Why is this trial even continuing?
Bob, it's a good question. As I understand procedurally, and I saw the video of what happened yesterday. If Rittenhouse's defense is self-defense, it's pretty clear that he had his case made for him yesterday by the prosecution. I understand that the defense can wait for the prosecution to rest its case, and then they can ask the judge for to grant a directed verdict, meaning basically we don't even have to put our case on. The prosecution didn't meet its burden. So I would assume that at some point this week, the prosecution is going to rest its case, and I would not be surprised if the defense makes that motion, and I'm equally would not be surprised if the judge grants that motion. This is an example of why you don't try to create cases based on the will of the mob and social media. This clearly was self-defense case, shouldn't have been brought.
Well, it was self-defense with him, but as I think about it, there was another person shot and someone killed. Do we know that there were guns drawn with those people as well?
Well, that was the other one. That was the other one. It was the one where they were we had testimony that one of the people that was killed followed Rittenhouse with his. Followed him and then had him on the ground beating him with the skateboard and had reached for the gun. So, yeah, there's all the facts so far suggest self-defense. He might get he was too young to be carrying the gun that he had. Someone else bought it for him. So he may the charge of, illegally carrying the firearm may stick. But all the murder charges should be tossed.
Well, that would not amount to much. All right, now I got to ask you, stay in the courts. The White House, after a ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court to stay, no more, you can't push on with this the vaccine mandate, the White House is telling businesses, plow on, just get prepared, be ready for it. I mean, what message does that send about respecting courts? It sends a message that ignore the courts.
We spent 4 years hearing about how Trump was a fascist and a dictator, and it's the other side that's acting that way. And can you imagine if Donald Trump, Bob, had said, I don't care what the Supreme Court said about, the dock of, kids being to stay here, ship them out. The media would have been up in arms. So in this case, I do believe that the vaccine mandate, when it reaches the U.S. Supreme Court, the federal vaccine mandate will be ruled unconstitutional for a number of reasons. That was executive order, not a legislative action. Also, there's a 1903 U.S. Supreme Court case that says it's the states that have the right to require vaccines. And that's why these lawsuits, that's the basis of these lawsuits, Bob, is the states are suing the federal government saying this is within our powers. Not yours, as the federal government can only act when it's expressly authorized to do so. So that's the crux of the cases. I think they have a good chance of success. And so ultimately, the Supreme Court is going to get involved and say, no, you can't do it, the federal government. If the states, individual states want to do it, that's up to them. They have the right to do that, but not the feds.
Well, we're based here in Minnesota, and our governor will push for the mandate because he'll just follow the other Democratic governors, which will
actually push our governor was out cheerleading when Biden put this in place because our governor is a coward and doesn't want to lose re-election next year, so he doesn't want to do he doesn't have his emergency powers anymore, so he can't unilaterally put a vaccine mandate in place, and the Republicans in the Senate aren't going to give it to him. So
He will lose the absolutely guarantee a loss if he pushes the mandate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's too many people and too many businesses. The number, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a lot of companies that are not big companies that have 100 employees and would be gravely harmed by this mandate. You know what? Here's the other thing. They're tone deaf in the White House. There's Pfizer's claiming that they've got a pill now that if you get COVID, basically it'll keep you out of the hospital, keep you from getting sick. Isn't that what that's what the vaccine is supposed to do? It's not working that way in every case. And I'm, and Jeff, I'm a breakthrough. They call it breakthrough case. I have COVID and I've had it for a long time because I talked to my doctor And he said, well, when did your symptoms start? Well, they started more than 2 weeks from the day I was that I tested positive. And my comment to him was, well, wait a minute, but I'm positive. He goes, you could be positive for a while after you're no longer contagious. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend that's a nurse who told me it could be 3 months where you people will still test positive, which makes me wonder, what's the NFL claiming that, well, the guy was positive, had his vaccine, he needs two negatives before Sunday? That's highly unlikely for that to happen.
Well, I just saw a story in the Star Tribune online that it's now being disclosed that the vaccines decline. You know, it's being admitted now that the vaccines decline in effectiveness over time. You're seeing now that the government is admitting that there's studies being done that do indicate this risk of heart disease, which, you know, a lot of people have been criticizing this vaccine. They aren't necessarily anti-vaccine, but what their point has been is this thing was fast-tracked in a way that no other vaccine has been, and we didn't spend the time measuring the long-term side effects of this. No, so, and now we're giving it to kids.
And here's the most important one, and I know women who won't get the vaccine because there has not been – women having babies with the vaccine hasn't happened yet, or it's just starting to happen. They're worried about birth defects because they did rush this through. And I have it. I got vaccinated. I'm not someone who's saying, oh, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I took the chance and took the vaccine, and I will say I am sure that if I wasn't vaccinated, I would have had far worse reaction to having COVID, and all I had was a cough and a stuffy nose. So it's it wasn't bad. But anyway, we need to shift to this. This is reprehensible. A group, one guy in particular, went to the door. The front door of the condo of the judge in this Kim Potter case for that, you know, thought she had the taser out and she shot Dante Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And how can this guy not be in jail for trying to intimidate? He claims he wasn't intimidating the judge. He just wants to have cameras in the courtroom. Bull. You don't go up there.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But more importantly, Bob, how can Kim Potter get a fair trial when the mob is showing up at the door of the judge in the case? I think that the judge, Regina Chu, if I'm her, I make a finding, and I'm sure the defense is going to make the motion that, you know, for to change of venue. I can't see her keeping this case. I think this should go to Stearns County or Wright County or someplace outside of Hennepin County where this woman can get a fair trial. We cannot have a repeat of the mob can, again, the mob cannot be dictating what cases get tried, who gets charged, and what happens, and then intimidating everybody in their path. I mean, this is what the mob did in the 20s and 30s.
And the mob has been given too much power by, unfortunately, politicians. And you could draw your own conclusion of what side of the aisle they're on, but they've been given too much power, and that's a huge problem, certainly in the upper Northwest.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Bob, because there's a lot of people I've heard comment in the last week about with the Minneapolis charter amendment going down, oh, I can go to Minneapolis again, it's safe again. No, it's not, because you have a governor that fans the flames every time one of these police shootings happens and an attorney general that's sitting there waiting to prosecute them. Nobody's going to come back and take those jobs as long as those two chuckleheads are in office.
You know what? We could live maybe better with Walz as governor than Keith Ellison as the attorney general. Because he is as progressive and as far left as you can get as an attorney general. Anyway, Jeff, we need to wrap it up. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone.